Well, good morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. We're in the epistle of Paul to the Ephesians. And the further I dig into this letter of Paul to the church, not just to the Ephesians, but to the whole church of God, the more amazing I find it. Amazing at the love and will of God, which he purposed in Christ Jesus. Amazed at where that which is called the church today is at. It certainly doesn't seem as though they are fulfilling the purpose God has given to the church, which is to preach the gospel, the God spiel, the word of God, the good news of what God is doing and has intended to do from before the foundation of the world. Now, we're beginning this third chapter. We may go back a little bit, I don't know. But let's get started. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. You know, the Greek word being translated here, Gentiles, is ethnos. It means ethnics. It means all the ethnicities in the world. For out of every tongue and kindred and nation God has called some, has chosen some for himself. It says, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you ethnics, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word. Now, in these first two verses, Paul is describing a relationship with God. Number one, he says in one relationship, he's a prisoner. The other is he has a dispensation. I don't really like this word dispensation, the translation from the original. The original is oikonomion. It's householder. It's the one in charge of taking care of the house. What house? The house of God. His church. You and you and you and you and me. I don't care. You know, God, in so many ways, describes our relationship with him. A prisoner, a householder, a spouse, a friend, a steward, beloved. All these relationships are part and parcel of our life of faith in God and with God. third verse, how that by revelation, he, who God, made known unto me the mystery, as I have wrote afore in a few words, as I wrote afore in a few words. He's talking about, you know, in that ninth verse of the first chapter, having made known unto me the mystery of his will. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit. This was never known, but now it is, that the ethnos should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, by God's word. He says, whereof I am made minister. Here's another relationship. Minister. One sent on a mission, not his own, sent by another. Paul says he's an apostle. That means a sent one. Sent by whom? By God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Whereof I am made minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. And I'm telling you, you study the life of Paul, you have to come to the understanding that which he was able to deliver through all the trials, through all the tribulations, through the stonings, through the shipwrecks, and all the rest, that there had to be another power behind that which Paul continued until the day he died, delivering the good news of the gospel. And it certainly wasn't that God had a great purpose for him in this life, but for us in the next. He says, unto me, who am less than least of all saints. Well, you know, Paul never met me, so I don't know how valid his claim is, but I understand what he's trying to say. Nothing he has done generated this power. It was done by the gift of God, by the grace of God, unto me, who am less than the least of all the saints, is this grace, unmerited favor given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see, and men here is in italics, therefore it's added by the translators, it literally says, and to make all see, what is the fellowship, the koinonia, the joint participation in this mystery, which had been hidden from the sons of men throughout the ages, but is now being revealed, which from the beginning of the world has been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent now, unto principalities and powers in the heavenlies. They didn't even know what it was, the mystery, might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. How's it to be known? It's to be known by the church, by those who belong to the Lord. It's not a place you go. The word they called Jesus Kyrios. They called his followers Kyriakon. And you follow the etymology of that word, and it moves throughout north and west, throughout Europe. And eventually, in English, it's translated church. It means the people who belong to the Lord. Kyrios. And being part of the Lord's people and being given this grace to preach the good news of God, of the grace and peace we have from God and from our Lord Jesus Christ, that is the unmerited favor, nothing we have done to deserve what we have been given, and that for the sake of what Jesus Christ has done, that God is no longer against us, because that which separated us from God, not only our sins, but our sinful nature, has been taken care of by the life and death of Jesus Christ, and the newness of life that we have by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For it, the scripture is very clear, him that raised Jesus Christ from the dead shall also give life unto our mortal bodies not to angels, not to wicked spirits in high places, but by the church. It shall be known the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. This word being translated purpose in the Greek, it's prothesis. It's a compound word, pro meaning before, and kathema, purposely set forth, literally a setting forth in advance for a specific purpose, God's prothesis. You know, this word is being translated in several verses. I just want to go to a few. One very familiar, Romans 8:28, properly translated, meaning the proper translation is, I'll read the King James first, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. Better translation, best translation is, God enters in, synergizes all things for His good to them that are loving God, to them that are called according to His purpose. In the 9th chapter of Romans, 11th verse, it says, for the children not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of Him, God, that calleth. How does this Ephesian letter begin? To reveal the mystery that has been hid in God since the foundation of the world. The 4th verse of the 1st chapter, according as He has chosen, ex electos, compound word, ek, from the past, a deed already done, legos, to choose by speaking, that is, to choose out from among those that are not chosen out. And the suffix puts the word in the middle voice, and the middle voice in the Greek describes. The motivation behind the verb, that verb being to choose out. And the middle voice tells us that He did this choosing out from among those He did not choose out for Himself. In the 11th verse of this very epistle, 1st chapter, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated, God's already worked it out according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Folks, we're attempting to put God here on display. We're attempting to encourage your spirit by the Word of God, by the power of God, to the intent that we might have some glimpse and better some understanding of the power of God, that He, being God, can do whatever He wants to do. With God, nothing is impossible, and God has purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, according to His eternal purpose, which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. 2 Timothy, 1st chapter, 9th verse, it says, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now, when God repeats Himself, pay attention over and over. It says, according to his eternal purpose, not of works. Is your church telling you that you have to perform, that you have to do this and don't do that? Is your church talking about receiving gratification in this life? Paul certainly did not receive gratification in this life, that is, in the flesh. But he looked toward home, heaven, his home, and tells us about God's eternal purpose. So many times in these first few verses, first couple of chapters of Ephesians, God speaks of in Christ, of God placing us in Christ Jesus our Lord. He says it again here, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we, where are we? In Jesus. We have boldness and access with confidence by your faith. No, that's not what it says, and you know it if you're reading along with me. By the faith of him. You mean Jesus had faith? Of course he did. God had promised him. If he would take upon himself flesh and blood and become kin with us, that according to God's law and the law of the kinsman redeemer, that redemption could only come, that is, restoration of that which was lost could only come through one near of kin, and that if Jesus would pay the price, the full price, for our redemption, which was his life, that God would raise him from the dead. And with that promise of God and the confidence Jesus had in it and the courage that Jesus had in it, and 90% of faith is courage, Jesus went to the cross. And there, bearing all our sins, all our iniquities, all our rebellions upon himself. And as Isaiah 53 says, the Lord laid on him all our iniquities. And in Christ Jesus, and because of what Christ Jesus did, our sins, iniquities, rebellions, our natural condition of sin, all are forgiven in Christ Jesus. That's a bold statement, and I am being bold, and I want to be bold, and I am bold by the grace of God, and I have access with confidence by the faith of Jesus Christ. Not only that measure of faith which is given to me, wherein I am able and you are able to grab hold of the promises of God, knowing that his word is forever settled in heaven, that when God says it, it is, whether we see it or not. When we begin to grab hold and act on those promises. Not only does God see that faith, but in addition, he adds the faith of Jesus. That's why Romans 1:17 says, from faith to faith. They're two different words in the Greek, folks. I mean, they're two different forms of the same word in the Greek. Ek pistios, eis piston is the Greek. Pistios, that's in the genitive. That's what we generate by that measure of faith given to us by God. That when we begin to generate that faith, God adds the faith of Jesus Christ to that faith. When you understand this, Paul says, now because of this, I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Now, I have to tell you, whenever I've come across this verse in the past, I had trouble with that. I didn't understand it. But as Paul says in the 21st verse of the second chapter of this epistle, groweth unto a holy temple. I'm still growing. I haven't attained yet. Paul says he hadn't attained. I certainly have not attained yet. But here's, I think that, here's what I've come to have a confident understanding of what Paul's trying to say. Paul wrote this letter from Rome. He was a prisoner. He was in chains. He was encountering tribulations. He did not want these people to whom he was writing to, he did not want the people who belonged to the Lord, the church, to be discouraged by his earthly condition. And therefore, he, through grace, preached to the church. And by that preaching, that they might hear the word of God. And faith comes by hearing. And when you're in faith, God puts you in Christ. No better place can you be. For this cause, Paul goes on to say, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he, that is God, would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Inner man? What do you mean? The new creation. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ, when we begin to operate by faith, we become a dual creation. The old man, which hopefully has less and less influence in our life, and the new man, the new creation in Christ, which hopefully begins more and more to influence our life, that is, our lifestyle, that is, where our attention is, that is, where our focus is, that being in God and that being in Christ Jesus, strengthened with His might by His Spirit in the inner man. It doesn't mean you're going to become a bodybuilder. I remember years ago, there were preachers out there, you know, with muscle men to show how strong you could be in Christ. No! Strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints, that is, those who have committed themselves to God, what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, Paul, over the majority of these first three chapters, talks about in Christ, in Him, in Christ Jesus our Lord, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, now he gives the full meaning and says, when you're in Christ and you're in Christ by faith, that Christ now dwells in us by faith. Grace is the message to the church. Peace is the message to the church. I find it so extraordinary that all the way back in the book of Numbers, God speaking to Aaron, and he says, when you bless the people, when you bring a good word to the people, bless them this way. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious. The Lord lift up His countenance, that is, the Lord make you aware of His presence and grant you peace. And virtually every letter that the Apostle Paul writes opens with that phrase, the grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is how we're going to end this message from Paul to the church of Jesus Christ. Lord willing, we'll pick up again next time. For now, that's the God School.